Welcome to Noise Avocation Podcast. I'm Jeremy here with Ryan, and we have Fourth Dominion with us. Did I say that wrong? I probably fucked that up. Anyway, I'm glad to have Meadow and Dave here from the band. You guys just put out Diana's song, what, last week or the week before? And
It was like 2 weeks ago, yeah.
And it's Diana's an amazing day. Album.
Thank you.
What did you say, David?
Diana's Day.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I brought my copy right here, but I got to put it right side up.
Upside down.
Yeah. And it's awesome you guys made a trifold, too. It's cool.
Yeah, I did the design for the CD, and I'm very happy with how it came out. And the pressing that Barian did is just so gorgeous.
And you guys have cassette tapes coming out soon, too, as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, look
they should
out
be
for
coming
that.
Very soon.
Shout out to Barian.
Do you have any plans to do a vinyl release in the future, or are you just seeing how it's the album's received before you put that amount of money into it? Because I know it gets pricey to do.
We are planning on doing a vinyl. We're still, don't quite know what the release date's going to be, but it is definitely coming. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's already in production, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Oh, great.
Nice.
Yeah,
sometimes
it is very
people
pricey.
Do tapes and CDs first, and then they wait a minute, and then they're, but it all depends. I didn't mean to cut you off, though. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say it is super pricey, which is why it's awesome we were able to link up with Barian and Fia, because, without that connection, we probably would just do CDs and tapes to start.
For sure.
But she was pretty cool about getting us set up to do all three formats.
No, it's and it's beautiful sounding. Now, who did you guys have produce it?
So we went to More Sound Studios in Syracuse, New York, which is also where we recorded the first album. And our engineer was Casey Arns Cavallo. He did a really great job tracking us and engineering the record. And it was just a joy working with him in the studio. And then for mixing, we got Tom Gerwitz, who used to play in a band from Buffalo called Ira, who me and Brady were always really, really big fans of and our old bands used to play with. And he mixed the last Wandering Oak album, which I really loved the sound of. So I reached out to him to do the mix for our record. I'm super happy with how it sounds.
Yeah, you picked right, because I love the sound of it. It's very... It puts you in a place for sure. Like for me, it gives you like that dark cloud. Like today up here in Alpena, it's dark and cloudy and like kind of miserable. But like there's a little, there's like a little bit of lightness. And that's kind of how I interpret that album. You know what I mean? Like it's not all bad.
Totally.
There's a little hope, but you got to go through some dark shit first. At least that's how I took it.
Yeah, it's got a certain gloominess to it.
And it's just super, super catchy. As soon as you put the album on.
Yeah, thanks.
With Bloodstains, it's like that the melody just gets stuck. And I can't get it out. I dig that song, and I really like Death and Fall. That was a great song. I mean, every song on here, there isn't any duds, which is rare. But congratulations on that for sure. I think it's great.
Yeah,
thank you for saying that.
We were playing it, like, we have a big, like, bump box Bluetooth speaker in the back here, and we were playing it sitting in the back, and we just, a lot of times we're just hanging out back here in the back of the store, brainstorming ideas and stuff, and then Jeremy came across you guys, and it was like, I believe it was within, like, a few days, we were like, oh, yeah, we're going to have him on the show.
Yeah, it's quick.
Aww.
Yeah, dude, it's just like the, it's right up our alley, I guess, the sound. As far as, I guess we're into, as I'm sure you guys are, all kinds of different music, but at the same time,
totally,
it's, everything still has like a dark hue to everything, whether it's black metal, whether it's like pissed off, straight edge, hardcore, whether it's you guys, The Cure, like, across the board, even like dark hip hop, even, like some DMX or something is dark and, just not there's no happy endings in those songs really, And we love them.
Some of that music makes me the happiest.
Right, exactly.
I love that stuff.
Which I'm sure it's for you. Like, you listen to what Susie and the Banshees was a huge inspiration on this album, as I'm sure anybody who knows anything and listens to this should get that, like, immediately. But that's, like, a whole nother fucking left side of everything compared to what you would expect, like, me or Ryan to listen to just by looking at us. You know what I mean?
What, Susie?
Yeah, no.
Yeah. Yeah. I just love that the diversity that it, comes out of, like, music now. Like, we were talking earlier how after COVID, it seems like people are finally getting everything out. And it's very refreshing. It's very it's a healthy time for music, I feel, you know? Like, there's just scenes popping up everywhere. And it's awesome.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I mean, I'm really glad that you picked up on the fact that there is a ray of hope that shines through the darkness on our album. And that is something that I, you know, look for in across genres. And two artists that came to mind when you were talking about, you know, stuff that's really dark, but in a different way. I mean, and talking about dark hip hop, I mean, for me, like, the score by Fugees, there's some really, like, dark, moody guitar playing on that album that I really, really love. And also, you know, something like Dummy by Portishead. It's definitely not like a goth rock album, but goths love it. Like, you hear Wandering Star in the Goth Club and everything. Yeah, and I mean, you know, having, I think, a diverse palette of sounds to draw from, you know, it just makes your songwriting a lot better than if you're just focusing on a very specific genre. I don't know. That just never has really appealed to me as much.
Right. You just want to be able to freely express yourself just to whatever comes out, basically.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely.
I think the tastes within the band, you know, even though there's only three of us, we don't have, you know, totally similar tastes. We have very diverse tastes within the band also. Like, one of the only things we agree on is, like, some of the basics, like Iron Maiden and Black Sabbath and things like that.
We heard Maiden right away in your guitar playing, dude.
We each bring a lot of other stuff too that, you know, the other members might not necessarily have in their wheelhouse. And I think that kind of comes through with the diversity of the influences.
Oh, for sure. I was getting to you next, Dave, about that's another thing that stands out on the album is there's parts where it's like a fucking metal. It's a metal song within a goth song with pop sensibility and, like, almost, you guys know, the Crash Love album by AFI from maybe, like, fuck, that might have been 20 years ago now. But it's, like, a real guitar-driven one.
Yeah, almost 20 years.
And I just remember Davey Havoc's vocals on that. Meadow, your vocals kind of remind me of that in a way. But the guitar parts in that album, it reminds me of, I guess it would be Dave, you know? And it's the same thing where it's like that, it's dark, but it's happy. Yeah. And then there's fucking, like, riffs and, like, fucking guitar solos and shit all mixed in, and you think, like, it's gonna be the Cure-ish. I don't know. It's cool, man. That's what I mean by, like, the
lots of surprises
everywhere. Yeah, it's very
where you're not knowing exactly,
like, what
what's gonna come.
There's
next.
A goddamn guitar solo in here, dude. It's cool. It's cool.
I even heard, like, a little ring of Alkaline Trio in there with the pop, like, kind of darkness but happiness in there, and
like the irony of it.
Yeah. So that was one thing I really liked listening through. I was like, oh, this reminds me of this, that, and the other. So what were some of you guys' biggest influences when making the album and just kind of crafting your sound in general? I know we talked about Susie, but I want to get to the other ones.
Yeah, one thing I'll say that might not be as obvious, because you mentioned the fact that you think the songs are catchy, and that there's a pop sensibility, and, like, that's definitely a very intentional, that's not accidental. I love, like, you know, I love, like, power pop, and I love, like, Matthew Sweet and, the Posies and, like, that kind of, like, just really catchy, like, alt rock. So, like, that's one influence that might not be as obvious, but definitely kind of, makes its way into the sound, and specifically in terms of, like, how catchy the songs are.
kind of, it's almost like Ghost too, how they have like a dark style, but like an ABBA influence almost with the way they write their songs.
Totally. Yeah. And, you know, me and Dave are both, you know, unapologetically huge Beatles fans, right? And like, for me as a vocalist and as a music listener, having something to sing along to is like the most important thing. Like that's, you know, when I'm at work or in the shower, like I'm singing along to music all day long, you know, so that's something that means a lot to me. And it's something that I try to, you know, center in our music.
Yeah. I mean, I sing along to guitar solos. So like, I'll be in the car just, you know, just doing my thing. And I think that's also a cool quality to have in catchy songs, is try to carry that over to the guitar solo as well.
Oh yeah, because you have that melody locked in like perfectly. So then you're like, nah, 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 nah. Is that what you're saying? Like,
yeah, I try to play to the melody of the song and kind of keep that same energy, right? So if we have something that's really poppy, you know, I'm not Yngwie Malmsteen or anything. I'm not coming in. And,
that was like
and
on the tip of my
shred my ass.
I was gonna be like, you're not just coming in there like an asshole stealing the spotlight and like breaking out a November Rain guitar solo or something.
yeah. So I think that is a really cool aspect of playing in this band, is being able to, as the guitar player, contribute to melodies and kind of the sing-along quality of all that.
And that's like, that's one of the coolest things about Iron Maiden, right? When they're playing in front of 200,000 people and the whole audience is singing the melody, like that's just the coolest thing in the world.
Yeah. Like that Rock in Rio show where they're playing Fear of the Dark and they can't even sing like because the whole chant's going on. I love that stuff.
Totally. Yeah, us too.
So what kind of effects, or can I guess what kind of effects you may have used on your guitar, Dave?
Yeah, okay. Absolutely. So, and actually, just to clarify, Meadow might have to chime in too, because she recorded some of the rhythm guitars on the album. A lot of them, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Awesome.
The first album and this one is kind of, it's really a tag team with me and Dave. I think that the parts are split, you know, pretty evenly between the two of us.
Okay.
Yeah.
Dope. So I obviously chorus, flange, echo, delay, that shit sounds awesome in there. Yeah, I love it, dude. Because
thanks.
My guitars I think are a little more dry than Meadow's. I think I don't think I used any flange, but Meadow used a bunch on the rhythm guitars for her parts.
Yeah, I like how that sounds, because it just gives it that its own unique voice. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know, yeah. For the
and it's not just like, oh, it sounds like Eddie Van Halen, or that sounds like whoever. You know, it doesn't matter who. Just sounds like Dave.
Just Dave.
That's one of my favorite things about this album compared to the first album, is we were able to experiment a lot more with guitar tones. You know, the production on the first album is pretty good, but I wasn't happy with how dry all the guitars are. So this one has just way more going on, way more atmosphere, which is cool.
Yeah, for sure. And it paints, like we were saying earlier, it paints that immediately, which is, you know, obviously you pick the right effects, you know, to paint that picture. And
I feel like everybody past their first album, though, was always going to find some room for improvement, or they should at least. I mean, you're not always going to release Illmatic for your first record and just have straight perfection across the board.
I wish.
I have a...
And then if you do that, then you know, you have to live up to that expectation, which a lot of artists can't do, you know?
Yeah. It's always been a struggle for, like, since that album came out. I feel like everything was slightly below it, even though he's released some amazing things, but
totally.
It's just hard to live up to that.
So,
what were you going to say, Jeremy?
Oh, I was just curious about the album's title and what was the inspiration for that, and where does that come from?
Yeah. I mean, the term Diana's Day, it's in the second song, Lilim, and it's a reference to the you know, the Roman goddess who was known as, you know, an Artemis in ancient Greece, and just she's just a deity that means a lot to me, and you know, the presence of like pagan spirituality, I think, is very in the foreground on the album as well. And I don't know, for me, I mean, I'm mostly come from Italian heritage. So Diana was a figure that was kind of worshipped by traditional, like, matriarchal witch societies in present-day Italy before the Roman Empire, was established under a different name, you know, and under different formations, probably, like, regionally. You know, there's regional variation to, like, how they saw deities and everything. But, yeah, no, for those reasons, and just in terms of what she represents about, you know, being the goddess of the hunt and of the moon and sort of the divine feminine and, you know, like the kind of occult, like mysterious energies that like are associated with feminine spirituality. She just means a lot to me. And I thought that there was nothing more appropriate to call the album than to name it after her.
Thank you for explaining that, because I honestly, I had to look up that up to see who she was before this. And I'm like, I'm just going to let one of those guys explain this. And then there you go. It's perfect.
Well, I feel like when it comes to something like that, like, you're going to have this like huge page of a lineage of like, maybe they didn't grasp like this part of it or whatever. So there's a lot there to uncover.
But yes, in the writing, like, I guess it was on Bloodstains, where you're like, these scars will never, is it like, these scars will never go away? Something, something, something. Mm-hmm. It gets stuck in my head, but like, it's very like, what's anybody can relate to it. You know what I mean? Like, it's not.
It's open to interpretation.
Yeah, to any interpretation. I love that, you know?
I'm glad to hear you say that. I mean, that song specifically, Bloodstains, and sort of the references to, like, you know, skin and blood and, you know, bodily imagery.
Yeah, yeah.
It's very much about, that song is about being trans and coming out and transitioning. But I do try to write from, you know, the perspective of the emotion or the feeling of something. So even if somebody doesn't have the same experience as me, they can still relate to the emotion that I had going through something.
Oh, most definitely. And it comes through.
It's really gratifying to hear
you say. It's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah, for sure. But,
so for, well,
go ahead.
I was going to transition to something else.
Go right ahead.
I was going to ask about live shows.
That's what I want to do too.
Oh, okay, cool. So Meadow, are you playing, you said you did some rhythm guitar too. So when, I thought I seen in a music video that you were playing bass. When you're playing live, do you alternate?
When we're playing like an electric, you know, like the normal set, I'm playing bass and singing. Bass is predominantly like my main instrument. But like for stuff like the acoustic show we just did, it was just me and Dave on guitar and Brady on drums, no bass. So, you know, I mean, it depends on what the situation calls for, but I'd say that bass is usually, you know, my main instrument.
And that show you played Saturday, we were talking before we were recording and I was looking for it and it just got posted. So at the
before we started.
Yeah, so at the time of this recording, it's now available. So when you people watch this, you can go check it out. So was that a lot of fun or what? You guys like that setting?
Yeah, I had a blast doing it. It was just really intimate. I mean, for me as a singer too, playing live is always a struggle to be able to hear your vocals on stage over, you know, the wall of distorted noise that's coming back through the monitors. So it was really nice to just have the vocals be super present in the mix. And I mean, I can deliver a better vocal performance when I can actually hear myself. So I'm pleased with how they sounded. And yeah, it was just a lot of, you know, friends and good vibes. So I had a great time.
Yeah, I would do that again. That was fun.
That's cool.
The first acoustic set that you guys have done.
No, we've actually done a bunch. I mean, the band kind of existed in a multitude of formations when I was living in the DC Baltimore area, you know, before COVID. And while I was down there, there was a couple of shows where we just played as a two-piece, me and my friend Mike Brown, who now plays in Nuclear Tomb. He was in the band at the time. And so we would just do shows, the two of us just playing the songs on acoustic guitar. And it's something too that I think about when writing is like, that's kind of like the hallmark of good songwriting for me, at least as a listener, is like, can you strip this down and just play it on, you know, piano and voice or ukulele and voice? Like, you know, in that way, kind of, I guess the traditional role of like the songwriter really means a lot to me. So I like being able to play the songs in different contexts.
Well, you mentioned Lennon and McCartney earlier, and there's nothing, I mean, you're not going to top that. And I agree with you 100%. If it's a good song, musically, we'll say without lyrics, you should be able to play it, those chords or that lick, in any form, and it should be badass. You know what I mean? And totally, like, totally. And from a guy that has played guitar in bands, that's me, and not very well, I've always hidden the distortion and the reverb and the, you know, just the, so then, you know, hides all the mistakes and shit I can't do. So stripping it down is like, that's, you know, if you can do that and it sounds good, I think you got a winner, you know?
Yeah, it really shows like the whole bones to the song.
Definitely.
Yeah, it's one thing I always think about. I remember an old interview with Brett Gerwitz from Bad Religion. It's another big influence and a band that me and Dave both, you know, very strongly agree on. And he said something to that effect, right? That like you can take a Bad Religion song and just play it on piano and voice. And there's so many great like acoustic Bad Religion covers on YouTube and stuff. But you listen to the recordings and they sound so aggressive. But like, you know, it really is the melody that carries it through, and that kind of defines the song, you know, I think for their music as well as ours.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's what, at least in, you know, you got four people on the same screen or to all agree Bad Religion is, you know, way up there. And that's it, is like,
I almost wore good. A Bad Religion shirt.
Did you? They're, they're fucking, they're good songwriters. Great. They're the fucking Lennon and McCartney of punk rock, you know? And I don't think anybody would disagree.
That's such a great comparison. I love that.
Educated songwriting for sure.
Yeah.
Totally.
So you guys, we're talking about acoustic sets. Let's go. You guys did a couple music videos. I've seen a couple videos live of you guys playing from maybe a couple of weeks ago.
I seen one that was like quite a while. Like some of them, you guys must have been a band for quite a while then, because I seen some videos of Fourth Dominion dated like years ago.
Yeah, I mean, it's existed in one form or another through various states of activity and inactivity for like over 10 years at this point.
Okay.
This is probably the most like legitimate and fully realized the band has ever been. Not probably, definitely. But, you know, yeah, there's definitely been, you know, shows here and there, you know, throughout that kind of 10-year period.
Yeah, actually, can I just quickly give a brief history of the band, at least as I see it. So
please do.
When we recorded our first album, Wings of a Dying Crow came out in 2017. I already knew Meadow was moving to Baltimore or DC at the time. So I recorded that album with the perspective of basically just a guest artist, right? So I did my guitar parts. I knew I was never going to be in this band full time. Or at least I thought I would never be in this band full time. So we did that. We did that way back in like 2015, 2016. Came out in January of 2017. She moved down, and there was a whole other lineup. There was a whole lineup of the band, or a couple lineups of the band down there. So when Meadow moved back to Rochester, New York, this is like a new lineup of the band that's existed for about 2 years. So like this album cycle for Diana's Day and the shows we've been playing last year and this year, with the two of us and Brady on drums, this is like a whole new version of the band, basically.
It's
like the reincarnation.
I think the earlier stuff was definitely more punk rock, just like fast, aggressive, from what I heard anyway, you know. And I kind of assume then that Meadow, this is your brainchild, and if you're like the main, because did you guys get a chance to watch our Some Days Are Darker interview?
Put them on the spot. They're I
haven't checked it out. I'm so sorry.
No, it's all good. So, in that interview, we talk about like front people who are like, they control everything, and it's master.
We were talking about Sisters of Mercy and stuff.
So anyway, I kind of ran into a little roadblock there because I put you on the spot, but
no, you're fine.
But it's awesome though. Like in this case, I feel that you, Dave, is a big fucking part of it though. You know, now
totally and that's absolutely. That's great. Yeah, I mean, historically, like the first, you know, both of our albums are pretty much all songs that I kind of just composed myself. And then, you know, Dave added his contributions that I think are of immense weight to making the songs better. But, now that we've had this lineup kind of solid for a while, I am very much looking forward to like doing some collaborative writing and like not having it all just be coming from me. I think that there's a lot of really interesting opportunities for us to explore in that. And one other thing I'll say about the history of the band on that point is, I mean, part of the reason I moved out of Rochester in the first place was because I didn't think I would be able to rope Dave into being in the band full time. When I moved back and like, you know, kind of, you know, we reconnected, I don't know. I'm just so glad that he's a part of this journey with me and with us. And I think that his playing I think that Dave has a very signature and identifiable way of playing guitar. And I think that it's very recognizable on both both albums.
And you and Brady reconnected too. Brady, our drummer, was in a band with Meadow in high school.
Wow. Oh yeah, that was our first band. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw you guys open for a friend's band.
Oh, that's so cool.
I'm a few years older than them. And I saw them like way back in the day playing like death metal-y kind of stuff, black metal-y kind of stuff. Like, mm-hmm. yeah, when you were teenagers.
So mm-hmm. sick. Yeah. Now you guys are all together making completely different music on the same topics.
Yeah, same darkness, different delivery.
And yeah, it's amazing how that works.
So totally.
When you were talking about collaborative writing for this record, did you do most of the lyrical writing yourself, Meadow, or was Dave involved in that too?
Yeah, the lyrics are all from me. And you know, even I mean, I don't know. We haven't really talked about it. I would assume that even if musically we do some more group compositions in the future, I think the lyrics would still probably be mostly kind of, you know, come from me. I don't know. I mean, I put a lot into them, and you know, writing is something I take very seriously, and you know, I have plans of doing like an MFA in poetry and all of that stuff. So using the band as an outlet for like the written word is a huge, huge part of it for me. And I think a huge part of like, you know, songwriting or whatever is like how the lyrics fit with the melody.
Yeah, for sure.
Definitely.
If you got something that's totally out of key with whatever song you're playing in the background, it'll fit right.
Right.
So what about your influences, Dave, on your guitar playing? When did you start playing guitar? When would you play when you were younger?
Yeah, so I started playing guitar when I was probably 13. I kind of grew up in a musical family. I actually kind of came up in the classical music world. I started playing viola and orchestras when I was 10.
Nice.
And then I started playing guitar a few years later. My influences have changed quite a bit. It kind of depends on what I'm playing. For this band, I just posted a comment recently, actually, that I think the top three records that influenced my solos on this album were Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast, Bad Religion, Against the Grain, and Dinosaur Jr. Where are you at? Where you been? Sorry.
That's an interesting just I think, like, throw in.
Yeah, there. That's like the odd one in there.
No, I think Dinosaur Jr. Has just the raddest guitar playing. I think Jay's amazing and just has such a cool, like, alt rock meets classic rock guitar hero style that I just love. And I think my solo on Hill of Swords is the one that was most influenced by Jay. because he just has such a cool sense of like melody, but also noise, you know?
Yeah,
just
yeah.
Somehow hits both ends of the spectrum.
Yeah.
So knows where like to put how music,
Melvins
where to put
do
it.
That very well too.
Yeah, Melvins is cool too.
I think they're definitely sorry to interrupt. They're another band that me and Dave definitely agree on, and it's another part of the sound. It's kind of like the late 80s alternative rock thing, you know, as well as the British post punk, also like the kind of American post punk, right? Like Dinosaur Jr. and Sonic Youth and like Husker Du and Replacements and all that stuff. And I think that you can definitely hear all three of those bands that Dave mentioned in his playing and also in the songs too.
Yeah, for sure. Most definitely.
That definitely goes with the catchiness for sure, especially the Replacements, because they wrote some incredibly catchy songs.
And the
totally agree.
The Maiden guitar solos, definitely.
I like
almost
the,
like some
the
Judas Priest
clangy style metal sounding Iron Maiden type of bass that goes on and some of that too. I feel like more bands are bringing that forward now, because I feel like I've mentioned this a few times on the last few interviews we did, where bands are highlighting bass more, and I'm happy to hear it, because there's a lot of music out there where it's just pushed way in the back.
Yep.
Especially with metal, right? And it's such a shame, because the early metal has some of the best bass I've ever heard in my life, like Iron Maiden and Black Sabbath, and you know, if you want to consider early Rush like metal. And then I don't know, somewhere in the trajectory it kind of became a background instrument, and that's one thing that really always appealed to me about post-punk and goth music, was that the bass is so forward and it's such a central part too. I mean, there's a lot of great goth songs where it's just like bass, drums, keyboards, and vocals and no guitar.
Yeah, for sure.
You know? And so it's a style of music where the bass is often a very melodic instrument too. Especially surprising to no one, I'm a big fan of The Cure, right? And the way that they can kind of have a rhythm bass part that like Simon is doing, and then Robert's playing a melody on the bass six over top of that. Like, it's just the coolest thing. So I don't know. I totally agree. I do see more of that. And I think more bands are taking some influence from the post-punk stuff in terms of the bass sound, which I'm also very here for.
Yeah, the tone you catch on that on this album is fucking cool too, in the bass. And I like you were saying, where the people are now bringing it up front so you can hear all of these tones like you've never really heard before, because they've been buried in mixes since the fucking 60s, you know. I shouldn't say that, since like the 80s, you know.
Since even then, all. Dude, they didn't have like heavy
Metallica
bass
killed
action.
Bass.
Yeah, exactly. Metallica killed bass.
Yeah, we rag on Metallica quite a bit on
all
the show,
time.
So earlier when
I
we were talking
album,
about
but
songs that are good, like when you play them acoustic or piano wise, I hardly ever, and I mean hardly ever, listen to Metallica, but I've heard like some piano covers and stuff that are phenomenal. And
definitely,
they write good songs. I just the people, the band, I'm way beyond and over it.
They represent the best and worst things about heavy metal.
Yeah, that's a good way to sum it up for
perfect.
Sure. Yeah,
that's a nice way of putting it.
The biggest egos in the business.
Totally.
Oh shit, that's funny. So you guys are out pushing this album. Have you had a chance to kind of start to like write any new stuff on Dave's end, Meadow? Obviously, I know you have piles and piles of lyrics, but as far as like you know, putting a song, new songs together, has that happened, or are you just kind of focusing on what's in front of you?
There are a couple. Yeah, there are a couple that I'm pretty excited about. I don't know about Dave, but I mean, there's and some of them even are like, you know, predate this album. Like, there's some songs that I just, for whatever reason, we didn't have space for on this album, but I don't think are of any less quality, that might find our way onto the next one. So I'm pretty excited about the ideas in a couple of those, and I'm excited to see where they go.
Cool.
I haven't heard any of those, for the record. There's stuff that I'm sure Meadow's been working on. I don't have anything for the next album yet. I think probably next year we'll really start working on that. We'll really start taking that more seriously and looking ahead.
Definitely.
So as far as right now, what's the future like? You guys playing shows?
Tons.
Yeah, that's really the main thing right now and next year is we're just trying to focus on playing live.
Has it been mostly New York shows so far in that area, or have you guys ventured out past that?
We're still mostly playing, you know, around Rochester and Syracuse and Buffalo, but we're venturing out a little bit.
That's a big area to play, I know, so...
Yeah, and it's not a bad area to be in. I mean, the East Coast is a lot easier to get from city to city than the West Coast. Next year we are definitely looking at doing some more, you know, stuff on the road and weekenders and that whole thing.
And we've started a little bit. Like, we played in D.C. a few weeks ago, which was really cool. We played with some other more, like, gothy, kind of gothic metal bands, which was awesome.
And the response has been really good down there.
It's cool. I mean, we don't find a ton of bands that like really align with what we do super closely. So Torvis and Cemetery Sex, the two bands we played with, both are just like absolutely perfect fits for us, and they're both great bands and great people.
Yeah, I like Cemetery Sex. I checked them out.
Didn't we talk about them? Because yeah. I was like, yeah, they're a goth rock band.
I was like, you gotta check these guys out.
Yeah, so, we played with them a few weeks ago.
I like what they do.
And then we're playing in Pennsylvania in a few weeks from now. And then we'll branch out a little bit from there next year.
Cool. That's great, dude.
If you guys make it over to Michigan area, we'll be sure to watch out for that.
It's possible. Yeah, it's very awesome. Possible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not a far stretch. It's not like we're in California, so.
Right.
Yeah, we had a random comment on Instagram like, hey, you guys should come play in California. And it's like, well, yeah,
fly
like
me there. Just, like, I don't know. Be in my way. Yeah, I can fucking do it.
Yeah, it's a plus. Like, I mean, staying over there, getting over there, everything. Like, especially if the venue's not like huge, you guys aren't making thousands upon thousands of dollars for every show you're playing. So, like,
everybody laughs.
That's coming out
losing
of your pocket.
Thousands of thousands of dollars, exactly. But maybe not
like,
making.
It's at your expense. So to travel that far for. Unless you had like a whole West Coast, you know, like line of shows booked, then it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense.
Exactly. Totally. Yeah. Yeah, we're not there yet for sure.
But it's nice to know, like, for you guys that you have people that are like, hey, bring your ass over here. Like,
yeah, that's gotta feel good.
Yeah, it is nice.
I love that. Yeah. I'm still waiting for someone to say come to Brazil. That's like the cliche. Yeah. The cliche on every comment page for every band ever. Come to Brazil.
Got it. Do you guys ever, I'm sure you would want to, but play in Europe?
A dream of mine is I would like to be able to play a UK run of shows at some point, just because so many of our influences are British. And I have spent some time, I lived in Scotland for a few months. And it's just, you know, I have, you know, friends and people that I care about over there. So it's just, it's a place that means a lot to me for different reasons. So playing over there with the band is definitely a goal. Cool. And playing mainland Europe would be great too, but also the UK.
Yeah, that's great. I just, a lot of bands, they go over there and they talk about how different. And I could see how you guys would, I maybe even take off quicker over there. They just... Europe just seems more open-minded.
They're more appreciative, I feel
appreciative of the bands. I mean, like Pet Shop Boys, for instance, we'll use, like, they're like a one-hit wonder in America, but then, like, over there, they can still sell out fucking, like, stadiums, you know? So,
yeah.
So that's all I wondered.
Yeah, no, it was cool. Like when I was in Scotland and, you know, another band that I think fits that description is Placebo. Like nobody knows about Placebo in the US. But like, you know, you hear them like in bars and stuff. Yeah. Right. Of course the two of you do. Right. which is great. And, but like, yeah, I mean, you know, you're never going to hear Placebo like in a bar, like a rock bar in America, but like you totally do over there and it's cool. And like, you know, I don't know. Specifically because, like, you know, bands like that, and I love the Pet Shop Boys, you know, so having that kind of music being given a little bit more legitimacy over there is, it's really cool.
I feel like Berlin and that area, too, and Germany in general, like, they have more. That sound like kind of started there, so I feel like they just resonate with it better. They appreciate it more. Over here, it was like, okay, like Pet Shop Boys had a big song, Human League had a big song, like, you know, a lot of those runs of bands had like 1 to 2 songs here, but they're icons over there.
Totally.
Fucking Americans, man.
Yeah, and like Pet Shop Boys had a new record out, like, I don't know, it was earlier this year, I believe, and I didn't have a single person in the store inquire about it, which wasn't all that surprising, but like I was kind of like, damn, like they were, you know, pretty big for a minute, but at least their songs were, and I just thought maybe at least one person would be like, even did you hear the new Pet Shop Boys, but nothing, right. Like, nothing at all.
That East West song, what?
Yeah.
You know, people around here, we're in a retirement community. Although it is, I'd like to call it, it's a good punk rock retirement community.
It is, because it's relatively affordable to live here, and it's, I don't know, there's shit to do, but not shit to do, if that makes sense. Like, if you're into doing things outside and stuff, there's a lot to do, but if you're trying to, like, hit a punk show every weekend, this ain't the spot. Which sucks, but is what it is.
It used to be.
Yeah. So as far as you guys' FIAD connection, this album was released through FIAD. The last was not, correct?
That's right.
Okay, so how did you guys link up with Barry Ann and get connected with FIAD?
I mean, I was just like a fan. And, you know, I mean, everybody I had talked to, you know, when we had the masters seemed to think that, like, we would be a good fit. And I was, they were the only label that I submitted our music to. I didn't send it to anybody else because they were my first choice, and I knew that I wanted to work with her. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, I sent her the stuff and she really liked it, and she was totally willing to accommodate everything that we wanted to do. And yeah, I don't know. It was magical.
That's great. Oh, I just remembered it was happy birthday, belated birthday, Barry Ann. I think it was over the weekend.
That's right. Yeah, it was her birthday yesterday. Yeah.
By the time she hears this, she's going to be like, dude, that was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, I want it. At least I remembered.
But every band that we've interviewed of hers, and we interviewed her as well, but everybody that we've asked, like, how do you guys get associated with them? It's always like either she approached us, or like we were just heard about it and psyched to work with her, and she was more than accommodating, and like everybody's always had amazing things to say about her, which speaks volumes for her as a person.
No doubt.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. Meadow emailed her, and I think the only question was, is she interested in a band like us? Right. Because we're not black metal. We're not Dungeon Synth.
You're not Cozy Synth or any,
right? Yeah. So it was just a matter of, like, you know, we definitely wanted to work with her, but would she be interested in this kind of music? And she was so game, like, from the start. So it just, you know, it just worked out perfectly for us.
Well, I think she herself, like, is probably a big fan of the music in general, because just from hearing things that she's into when we talk to her, this would definitely feel like it's up her alley.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. And
I was just going to say real quick, I did listen to that when you had her on. That was a really cool episode.
Appreciate it.
It was a minute ago now. We weren't doing video yet at the time.
Right.
But what were you going to say, Meadow?
Oh, no, I mean, I don't want to speak for her, but I think that she is probably really excited about the opportunity to have some more bands that, like, play live and, like, go out on the road and do that kind of stuff on the label.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's good for you guys and good for her and, you know, good for the label in general. Like, it helps. It's a win-win-win for everybody.
Yeah, and now that I think about it, she doesn't have, a whole bunch of touring bands, really. They're all like a lot of
a lot of one-man projects and stuff like that. Yeah. Awesome bands, by the way, but like just sometimes it's hard to have a one-man band on a show. Not everybody can do it, especially depending on what music you're playing.
Yeah, we've been talking about trying to do like a showcase, like, you know, for the live bands
Yeah.
on the label, but it's like, are there more than like two or three, you know? There definitely are. I do want to put some work into to trying to coordinate that, like maybe next year or something.
Yeah, that'd be dope.
But yeah, I mean, it's exciting that there do seem to be more and more bands like that coming through.
Now we were talking like
Absolutely.
about everybody finally getting shit out after COVID. Now I've noticed over the years, do you think like okay, so when we were all younger, because we're all roughly around the same age, there wasn't as many distractive things. So we would like, man, I'm gonna play guitar, I'm gonna play drums, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. And I just don't think as many kids are picking up guitars and drums, you know? Like I don't see it around here anyway. Like with like my kid, he would rather play video games or edit videos or do like 22nd century boy shit, you know? Like
22nd
that's what I'm
century.
saying, man. It's like I gotta go back to like the T-Rex era of things, you know?
22nd century digital boy.
Digital boy, yeah. Do some Bad Religion. So have you do you guys see any younger bands in your area coming up of any sort, or
A lot of what I see, specifically, you know, in like kind of queer, you know, music scenes and music circles is there's definitely a predominance of electronic music, right? And it's just the barrier of entry there is so much easier and less expensive than trying to play in a rock band. So I think a lot of people just go for trying to make like EDM and breakcore and a bunch of really cool stuff like that, you know, that I'm super into.
but you just need a
But it does.
laptop.
Right. You know, but it does make me
Traveling
feel
with
that.
that is so much easier than having like a full stack in the back of your car and multiple pedal boards or a
And your
drum
guitar
set.
player's
Drum set.
girlfriend.
Yeah. Oh my God.
And
Right.
your guitar player's
Oh
girlfriend.
God, dude. That's a whole nother story,
That does
folks.
make sense though, like I mean, it goes with technology in general because you can download like let's say GarageBand on your iPad or something and you can play every instrument on there and track electronic drums, electronic guitar, bass, etc., make a whole song just from, sitting there pressing buttons. And there's hip hop producers that have made whole albums just on iPads, like Madlib's done it, I know for sure. And it makes sense though with the era though, because like Jeremy was saying, we didn't have as many distractions, but now like you're on a laptop and you're like, oh, cool, there's an app for this. You upload sounds and start making little pieces, and like anybody can do it. Like you can have it published on the internet by the end of the day. You don't have to go to a studio, track it, master it, have it released, pay for the studio time, and all that.
So, I mean, it sounds nice, honestly.
Yeah, I mean that really when I say that out loud, I'm like, oh, that, I get why they do it now,
I was
actually.
just looking. I'm a fan of. I'm sure you guys all know Grimes, and her album Visions that came out in like 2012. She did that all on GarageBand. Fuck, like I'm just like,
And it's like a free app. You
yeah,
can
she
just
just
like, yeah.
there you go, and
The one thing I am
I
seeing, I
love
think
that
that.
album.
Yeah, with newer like rock and metal bands, the people who are getting into that sort of thing, like younger people who are starting off playing guitar and things like that, are a lot more multi-talented. Like the bands who make it now that are younger, they can produce records themselves. They can do their own video editing. They run their own social media and are really good at PR and things like that. So I think that's something that's really changed a lot is maybe like you said, there aren't as many kids picking up instruments and stuff, but the ones that do are like a one-stop shop. They just do
Yeah, I
everything.
suppose you'd go on YouTube
Crazy.
and learn anything. Where I'm assuming, Dave, you probably did the old, like, I'm gonna listen and try to match it or ask
Google
somebody else who, or,
ultimate guitar tabs, dude.
I'd have some
Yeah,
old
downloading
hippie show me
tabs
how
and
to do
stuff like
bar chords
that.
back in the day.
Yep. Guitar Pro, that was a big thing.
I remember playing Guitar Hero with a kid one, like, oh shit, I was probably like 18, 19. It just came out, and he's like, their mother's on there, Danzig. And it was like harder to play on there than just to play the three chords on guitar. I
Yeah,
was like, this is bullshit.
I remember that.
You know?
I remember trying to play Dragon Force on there, like having your fingers all fly around like, everywhere.
All the time I'm spending figuring out this fucking game, I could be like an actual shredder, you know?
Because it's not a complicated song, Mother. No. Dragon Force, on the other hand, different. I don't even know that they can do that live, but I mean, that's like tracks on tracks on tracks.
The biggest bullshit of those games is when they would throw like a Slayer song, like Rain and Blood is on there.
Yeah.
And you get to the solo, and it's like, really? I gotta hit the right buttons for this Kerry King solo?
Yeah.
Like, that's a joke.
Yeah.
That's a joke. Like, those aren't notes.
Yeah.
Like he does a dive bomb, and I have to hit like three buttons for that.
Yeah, you should just be able to. Yeah, that's funny.
Let me hit whatever I want. Yeah. Let me be Kerry King and hit whatever I want.
That's exactly what he does.
Yeah.
I mean, Jeff was definitely the guitar brainchild behind that band.
No doubt.
Kerry is more like.
Kerry is Kerry.
He's the Sid Vicious.
Chaos.
Like he had the image and the attitude and stuff. And, you know, he had the big ass spiky fucking nails and everything, and he looked cool. But as far as what he was doing, I mean, like anybody could pick it up and do it.
I think it's cool though, like just having that chaotic approach to it, just unhinged. No holds barred.
It worked for him. I mean, he's definitely like made it work this long. I tried to listen to his new album and it just sounded like a Slayer cover band. I didn't go into it with expectations because I kind of knew that's what it was going to be. But then I listened to it just out of curiosity because people are like, "Oh, new Kerry King's fucking awesome." I'm like, "All right, cool. I'll check it out."
I'm not listening to you anymore.
Yeah, it was just very bland. And I'm like, dude, you couldn't think of a cooler name for your band other than Kerry King.
Yeah, no shit, right?
Like, that's your creative outlet. You just, nothing. Like, I get it. It's hard to think of a metal band name, but shit, like, you're surrounded with enough people that could have brought you something.
Yeah, no shit.
And there's so many other, like, good people in that band, too, that, like, they should have definitely just, like, come up with a name for it, right? Yeah. It's not just, like, him and a bunch of hired guns. It's, like, he's got, you know, it's Paul Postaff, right? And Brady, our drummer, just saw the Kerry King lineup with Mastodon or whatever. I don't remember what, did he say that they were good? I can't even remember.
I don't know if he mentioned.
That's a bad sign.
The fact that I'm asking is not good.
You're right.
So said Mastodon was good. But
Mastodon's always good, right?
Yeah, I seen Mastodon the first time in like 2013, and they were at Mayhem Festival, and they were one of four headliners in like an all-day festival. And what really surprised me about that was 90% of the crowd like use that time to go get pizza and go to the bathroom and stuff. And I'm trying to think of who else. It was Amon Amarth, Rob Zombie, Five Finger Death Punch, and
Mastodon. They'll stay for Five Finger and they'll fucking.
They stayed for Five Finger and Rob Zombie, but then like Amon Amarth,
of course, Rob Zombie,
Mastodon. Like people are going to get pizzas and do whatever, and like I'm on the hill, like fucking Mastodon. Like where's everybody going?
I believe it, dude.
I love Mastodon. I've seen them a bunch of times. They're great. One of my favorite bands.
They're such
and
a cool
two of the
band
members are from Rochester.
Everything they do, like album to album, they just expand on and make it sound different. And like Bran has that Arcadia side project that's really cool. And just all around great musicians, all of them, all really cool guys.
Yeah.
So what are some things we always ask our guests?
Oh, wait, before you get to that, I have a question about...
My bad.
I just didn't want to start to get towards the end.
Oh, I'm not.
So the music video that you guys did, the Lilith video, all the vines that are coming up and everything, like, did you guys have somebody shoot this for you? And was that, like, used as, like, that's stop motion, obviously, isn't it? Or was it...
No.
It's not, really?
No, it's just a guy off camera pulling a vine, right?
Oh, like toward.
And then
I think they
put the footage in reverse, like in the shot or something.
So it looks like it's growing instead of being pulled.
Yeah. Gotcha. That's
tricky bastards.
Because I was looking at it like this looks like it should be stop motion, but it's just so smooth that I'm like, I don't know that it is. Like, creative. That was done very well because I was thinking stop motion for sure.
Yeah, I think it's badass that you guys make like actual videos with like little stories in them instead of just like, hey, we're playing live in our practice space. I mean, you know, no disrespect to fucking anybody that makes videos like that, but it's, I mean, we come from a MTV era where it was like, you know, videos, like a Tool videos and shit, where even if you didn't like the band, you're like, this shit is amazing. Yeah.
That was some of my like most formative musical experiences was as a kid, my two older sisters would show me tapes that they had recorded of 120 minutes TV. So, you know, all of those videos definitely like, you know, wormed their way in there. And yeah, I mean, it's like, I think a lot of videos like of bands just playing live, it totally works for them, but it just wouldn't feel right with us. It's just, it doesn't fit our vibe or our style or anything. So, you know, we thought to do something a bit more conceptual, would fit the song a lot better. And I'm glad to hear that you think that it did.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, the themes of the album have such a strong tie to nature that it wouldn't feel right for us to shoot a video in a warehouse. Right. Like we had to be in the woods.
Yeah.
And that fits with Fiad well.
I was going to say, yeah, that fits with Barry Ann for sure.
I think that's one of the main things that probably were like for her. She's like, oh, yeah, I'm totally into this.
Definitely.
But anyway, before I cut you off, Jeremy, what were you going to ask? I wanted to get that out.
Oh, it's good.
I have wanted to earlier.
It reminded me of something else that we had to, you know, move the this interview because your dog had a thing happen, but he's all good. He just needed some antibiotics.
Yeah, he's fine.
So, I'm glad.
Good.
So everybody out there, he's good. His name is Sabbath.
He's a little black pug.
Hell yeah.
Wicked.
But anyway, so what... We always ask our guests, what are some things that you listen to that people wouldn't expect? So somebody's walking by, and they're like, oh, this guy probably listens to this, and she probably listens to this. But really, you got, like, who knows what's going on in there?
Mariah Carey in the background.
Yeah, or maybe not. I don't know. What do you got? Go ahead, Dave.
I got one.
What is
right off the bat. Well, I got a couple, actually. So the first one, the album Tragic Kingdom by No Doubt. Love that album.
Fuck yeah.
None of my metalhead friends like that, but I listen to it at least once a month.
Was that when they were more like ska-driven?
That was the fucking big album.
That was the big
album. That was their breakout. Okay.
I never really like got into them, so I don't know them by album name.
There's still a little bit of ska on that album. It's not like the really early ska stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it is just straight ahead, like pop rock.
Okay.
Super new then,
no, it's a song, Don't Speak. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, yeah.
That's from that album. Okay. I had to like sing the song in my head to get to the fucking chorus to remember the name of it. It's horrible. It's Wired.
I was just thinking of the B-A-N-A-N-A-S song. But it wasn't that. Later
on, yeah.
That was a Gwen Stefani solo.
I was going to say, that was a solo, wasn't it? Yeah.
But she did do that Talk. Was that No Doubt or was that Gwen Stefani?
That was No Doubt, yeah.
Yeah, when they did the Talk cover.
Yeah.
That's cool.
The other one is Andrew WK. I've always been like an unironic
That's a surprise.
Fan of
That's
Andrew
cool.
WK.
Fucking party all the time, dude.
That's a name I haven't heard dropped in quite a while.
Yeah, because it's like, you know, sometimes I play depressing music all day, and sometimes I listen to party music instead.
That's awesome.
I mean, you gotta have both. I mean, not every day can be a gloomy day, but
right.
Humans are a mess of contradictions. What about you, Meadow?
Well, I'm gonna second No Doubt. I don't know how surprising that would be, but I love that album, and you know, me and Dave definitely. I think we were driving back from DC, and we put that album on.
Yeah, we did.
But the one that comes to mind for me, and also because it's kind of an in joke within the band, but I do unironically enjoy some songs by Sheryl Crow.
I
don't know. They're catchy, you know? I mean, I don't know. What do you want from me?
That's hilarious and awesome.
We frequently refer to our first album as Wings of a Sheryl Crow. when Meadow prints out the set list and we play that song, that title track, she puts Wings of a Sheryl Crow on the printout set list.
Oh, that's
or just Sheryl Crow.
Or just
Sheryl Crow. Yeah, and you guys know what's up.
Someone probably looks at it like, are they going to play a Sheryl Crow song?
Oh, God.
Honestly, at this day and age, that wouldn't be entirely surprising if somebody covered a Sheryl Crow song and even made it really cool, too. Like, I've heard bands that have taken a song that you're like,
trying to think.
Originally, you hear it, like, I'll use, Jeremy's going to hate this, but we'll use, like, an Olivia Newton-John song as an example. Like, some band could cover, like, Physical and make it cool.
But I'm going to do it just out of spite.
I haven't heard it done, I don't think, but with that song specifically. But there's bands out there that do it. Like, you remember those, like, Pop Goes Punk compilations
and stuff?
Yeah. Punk
Goes Crunk and all that shit.
Yeah, all that. There's. I have a bunch of those comps on, like, an old, you know, it might even be on this external hard drive where, because they did like a million, it was like a million of them, just kind of like.
Came out with like 50 of them in like a 4 year span.
Fucking Now You Hear Music. It was around that era and shit.
Oh, now that's what I call music.
Yeah, there you go. There
so
you
me
go.
And somebody were talking about that the other day, and they're on like, it's in the hundreds, but I don't remember exactly how far into the hundreds. But then I was looking up and I was like, when did they start this? Because I was like, there's no way they only did one a year. It's not been 100 years. Because I remember the first one when I was like very, very young. And they're still going. Like, I don't know. Man. I don't know who's buying them. But
are they pressing them? Like on vinyl?
Not vinyl, I don't think. I'm sure if you could find like yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, who's coming into a store? Like, yo, you got now? That's what I call music for. Like,
I mean, the things that people come in and ask for now are very surprising to me. To be quite honest, you know.
Yeah, there is certain things that I get surprised by too, but I haven't seen any now vinyl that I can recall. But I'm waiting for one day for somebody to come in with a stack of like every one of their CDs. Like, you guys interested in buying these? Like,
no, thank you.
I'll give you $1 for the whole stack, and that's it. Like, no way am I going to be able to sell all these.
Oh, man. But in the same breath, some like, I love some vinyl comps, you know, some cassette comps, even like some CD ones. They're just not the pop ones, you know? So I guess, you know, if you could make like a Fiat fucking sampler disc or sampler tape, well, that'd be fucking sick, you know? Oh,
like how like Victory and
back in the day, label Victory samplers. Like Warp Tour that would always put out a sampler.
Yeah.
There's like Punk-O-Rama compilations. Yeah. I remember they had
Punk-O-Rama one fucking sick, dude. They have like a couple of Rancid songs on there. I don't think you can hear anywhere else. Total Chaos is on there. Oh, I'm going to go home and listen to that shit now.
Yeah, I might too, actually.
Pops in my head. Short and sweet album. Wayne Kramer's on it. Rest in peace.
Is he?
Yeah, dude.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Anyway, sorry. Got a little...
No, I mean, I'll get on a whole tangent there.
Fuck
Wayne. Sidetracked with that. But anyways, guys, before we wrap things up here, do you have anything that you would like to add or plug or anything like that? All of your social info and everything we will have in the episode description, so for all listeners, go check that out. Follow the band, follow Fiad, buy the CD, buy the tape.
Here's the CD.
Look for the upcoming vinyl release.
Yeah, the only thing I would want to plug is just some of our upcoming shows. So we're playing live at Wayo. It's a radio station here in Rochester on September 8th, 2 p.m. If you're in Rochester, 104.3 FM, or you can listen live on their website. And then the weekend of September 20th and 21st, the 20th, we're going to be in Syracuse. And then the 21st, we're going to be in Harrisburg. So if you're in either of those cities, do come out. We're playing with some really sick bands on both bills.
Cool.
Right on. I'm definitely going to check out that radio.
That'll what was fun. The number? 104.
That's going to be fun.
Yeah, and you can listen to it online.
104.3.
Yeah. Okay. So it's Wayo, W-A-Y-O.
Mm-hmm. All right, cool.
That's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, awesome. That sounds awesome. Sounds like a good time.
Anything for you, Dave, before we sign off?
No, I'm good. Just the social media pages are always being updated with new shows and new formats for the album. We're always keeping that up to date, so keep a lookout for that.
Awesome. Well, we thank you guys for taking the time to come on here and sit and talk with us. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm glad we got to finally connect.
Same.
Yeah,
Yeah, thanks for
thanks.
having us. It's always fun. Love talking about records with y'all.
Yeah,
For
absolutely.
sure.
We'll be in touch with you guys on Instagram in the near future about like when this is releasing and et cetera and all that good stuff. So, but thank you again for taking the time. We appreciate it. We love the record and hope to see you guys do some more soon too.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks,
And
guys. Thank you.
congratulations. It's fucking awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
You guys have a good day.
All
Yeah,
right.
you
Yeah, you
too.
too.
Peace.
Bye.